You're listening to Vatican Radio. Michaela Clark and Mackenzie Clevenger-Valley have joined the growing international movement against sex trafficking, but with their own particular spin, literally. Michaela and Mackenzie are professional American dancers, and they're bringing the fight against sex trafficking to the streets and to the stage, raising awareness through dance. In 2012, they founded Without Words Movement, a dance company based in Cleveland, Ohio, which aims to contribute to the abolition of sex trafficking worldwide. And they've taken their performance on tour, first to Bucharest, Romania, and then to Rome. They join us in studio to share with us their inspiration and what they've learned, and to reflect on the link between the arts and social change. Welcome, Michaela and Mackenzie. First off, what inspired you to found a dance company with this particular purpose in mind?
We actually had no intention of starting a dance company when we first started doing this work. We had learned about the issue of sex trafficking through some good friends of ours. And through prayer, we began to feel God's heart for the broken and lost, especially those affected by this issue. And so it was really God challenging us to bring the kingdom of God through what we do best, which is dance and choreography.
Why do you think dance is an effective medium to raise awareness about sex trafficking?
There's really two main reasons that we feel that dance connects with this issue. The first is that dance has a way of going past the intellect and really connecting to the heart and the emotion of people. And so where statistics can kind of connect with the intellect, dance can connect to emotion and can tell people why, what these women and men will feel and experience. The other reason is that these women, it is their bodies that have been abused during these acts of injustice. And so we feel that as dancers, we can use our bodies to speak for those who have no voice. So we would like to use our bodies as a redemptive and a freeing method for these women and men.
How do you think the arts can contribute to social justice?
Well, if we look at history, we can often see that art can proceed many things that happen. And so it's often through the arts that many changes come. The Renaissance, for example, just learning about how that happened right after the plague. So people were expressing through art to overcome the loss and everything they had been through.
Michaela, what do you think?
It's really a cultural change. We feel like our artists are often on the forefront of a change in culture and a change in mindset. And so being able to get the message to the general public through arts will hopefully help to change the moral mindset of the day.
Tell us a little bit about the performance you toured. First off, why Romania and Rome, and how people responded?
Well, the piece that we created is called A Broken Road, and we learned that many women who are trafficked from Romania, from Eastern European countries, end up in Western European countries. And so many of the women on the streets here in Rome, for instance, are actually from Romania. And so we created a piece about the broken road that these women are unfortunately traveling. So the piece begins with hope and aspiration that a lot of young women have, whether it's in a romantic relationship or the idea of a new job in a big city, and then the quick loss of innocence and the many masks that these women are oftentimes forced to wear. And the story goes on to show that often these women feel that the only choice is death, or that this road leads to death. But with our hope in Jesus, we wanted to show freedom and perseverance and a hope for change and a hope for good. So the piece actually ends with these two women you saw once lost and broken actually being able to help one another on a road to freedom.
And so how did people respond to the piece?
Well, one time we were performing in Romania in a metro station. So you can imagine this very busy metro station, but people were beginning to stop and watch, not just on the lower level, but in the balcony. And as we were in the middle of the piece, beginning to persevere and the hope was coming, the audience began to applaud and cheer. Not for us, because the movement we were doing wasn't very hard, but because they could see that hope was coming and there was freedom ahead. And so they began to grow very excited.
Were you able to speak with any young women who were affected by your piece in the sense that they said they would think twice about moving to a new country for fear of being dragged into something like this, or women who were perhaps already in this industry who are back in Romania now?
You know, we weren't able to speak with many people, mostly because of the language barrier. The people that we were with were able to have more conversations with the Romanians the audience that had watched. However, when we were performing here in Rome, we were able to have some feedback from some of the audience, and one man happened to be from Romania in the audience, and he was extremely touched that we had created this piece for his people and to warn his people, and he just shared with us that he had just days before been praying and crying out to God for his people and for his country, and knowing the danger that these women were in, and then saw our performance and was just deeply touched that that there were more people that cared about his people and his the women of his country. So that was just one story that we were able to hear feedback from, but we just hope that there were women that were affected as well.
Now, you came on this tour already knowing the general situation about trafficking in the world. What have you learned on this tour?
I think we've learned, through our travels, we've seen a lot of different faces of sex trafficking, as far as in some places it's more driven through poverty, in some places it's more driven through lack of education, in other places it's driven because people are looking for a better life or are tricked into romance. And there's all of these, we've learned that it's a very complicated, deep issue that doesn't necessarily have one pinpoint. But the pinpoint the common denominator that we have found as we have traveled has been people need to be loved, and whether it's not poverty that's ultimately going to drive someone to sell their daughter. It's not these issues that seem deep. It's ultimately there's a need to be loved and the lack of that in their environment, and so they're driven to these extremes. So I think that's one common denominator that we've found as we've traveled, is just this need to love and be loved, and the only thing that we have found that can do that is Jesus Christ.
So you've been to Romania and now Rome. What's next for Without Words Movement?
Something that we'd like to know too. we truly hope to continue to share the story in Cleveland, in America, and also to come back to Europe. We actually have heard from several audience members, this needs to be seen in France. This needs to be seen in other areas of Europe. The road doesn't stop in Italy. It continues to go on this broken road. So I think that we do see ourselves continuing to share this story and to also take what we've learned here and begin to create new things. When we were in America, an audience member once told us, the deeper you go, the deeper you take us. And so we want to continue to share what we've learned and put that out there for people to see.
That was Michaela Clark and Mackenzie Clevenger-Valley, founders of Without Words Movement. I'm Laura Uracci. Thank you for listening.